Chapter 25. Bonds. In his room at the Council's Head, Rand sat on the bed with his legs folded and his back against the wall, playing the silver-mounted flute Tom Marilyn had given him so long ago. An age ago. This room, with carved wall panels and windows overlooking the Nethvin Market, was better than that they had abandoned at the Crown of Moreto. The pillows stacked beside him were goose down, the bed had an embroidered canopy and curtains, and the mirror above the washstand had not a single bubble. The lintel above the stone fireplace even had a bit of simple carving. It was a room for a well-to-do foreign merchant. He was glad he had thought to bring enough gold when he left Kyrian. He had lost the habit of carrying much. Everything had been provided for the dragon reborn. Still, he could have earned a bed of some sort with the flute. The tune was called Lament for the Long Night, and he had never heard it before in his life. Luz Theron had, though. It was like the skill at drawing. Rand thought that should frighten him, or make him angry, but he simply sat and played, while Luz Theron wept. "Light Rand," Min muttered. "Are you just going to sit there puffing on that thing?" Her skirts swirled as she paced up and down the flowered carpet. The bond with her and Elaine and Avienda felt as though he had never known anything else or wanted to. He breathed, and he was bonded to them. One was as natural as the other. "If she says one wrong word where it can be overheard, if she's already said it, I am not letting anyone haul you off to a cell for Elida." Alana's bond had never felt that way. It had not changed, not in itself, yet increasingly since that day in Camelin, Alana's bond seemed an intrusion, a stranger looking over his shoulder, a sand spur in his boot. "Do you have to play that? It makes me want to cry, and it makes my skin crawl at the same time. If she puts you in danger..." Snatching one of her knives from its hiding place up a loose-fitting sleeve, she flourished it in her fist. He took the flute away from his mouth and silently looked at her over it. Her face reddened, and with a sudden snarl, she hurled the blade to stick quivering in the door. "She's there," he said, using the flute to point. Unconsciously, he shifted the instrument, following Alana exactly. "She'll be here soon." She had been in Farm Matting since the day before, and he did not understand why she had waited till now. Alana was a tangle of emotions inside his skull, nervous and wary, worried and determined, and above all, angry, in a barely restrained fury. "If you'd rather not be here, you can wait." Min shook her head fiercely. Right beside Alana in his head lay the bundle that was her. She bubbled with worry and anger too, but love shone through like a beacon whenever she looked at him, and often when she did not. Fear shone through as well, though she was trying to hide that. He put the flute back to his lips and began The Drunken Peddler. That was jolly enough to cheer the dead. Luz Theron snarled at him. Min stood studying him, her arms folded, then abruptly gave her dress a twitch, settling it on her hips. With a sigh, he lowered the flute and waited. When a woman adjusted her clothes for no reason, it was like a man tightening the straps of his armor and checking his saddle girth. She meant to drive home a charge, and you would be cut down like a dog if you ran. Determination was as strong in Min now as it was in Alana, twin suns flaring in the back of his brain. "We will not talk about Alana any more until she gets here," she said firmly, as though he had been the one insisting. Determination, and still the fear, stronger now than before, continually trampled down and continually springing back up. "Why, of course, wife, if it pleases you," he replied, bending his neck in the approved farmatting fashion. She sniffed loudly. "Rand, I like Olivia, I do, even if she does make Nynaeve have kittens left and right." One fist planted on her hip, Min leaned forward and pointed a finger at his nose. "But she is going to kill you." She bit off every word. "You said she was going to help me die," he said quietly. "Those were your words." How would he feel at dying? Sadness at leaving her, at leaving Elaine and Avienda. Sadness for the pain he had brought them. He would like to see his father again before the end. Aside from those things, he almost thought death would be a relief.
"Death is a relief,"
Luce Theron said fervently.
"I want death. We deserve death."
"Helping me die isn't the same as killing me," Rand went on. He was very good at ignoring the voice now. "Unless you've changed your mind about what you saw." Min flung up her hands in exasperation.
"I saw what I saw, and it's what I told you. But the pit of doom swallow me if I can see any difference. And I can't see why you think there is."
"Sooner or later I have to die, Min," he said patiently. He had been told by those he had to believe. To live, you must die. That still made no sense to him, but it left one cold, hard fact. Just as the prophecies of the dragon seemed to say, he had to die. "Not soon, I hope. I plan not soon." "I'm sorry, Min. I never should have let you bond me." But he had not been strong enough to refuse, any more than he had been strong enough to push her away. He was too weak for what had to be done. He needed to drink in winter till he made winter's heart seem Sunday noon.
"If you hadn't, we'd have tied you up and done it anyway."
Best not to ask how that would have differed from what Alana had done, he decided. Certainly she saw a difference. Climbing onto the bed on her knees, she cupped her face in his hands.
"You listen to me, Randall Thor. I won't let you die. And if you manage it just to spite me, I'll follow you and bring you back."
Suddenly a thick vein of amusement rippled through the seriousness he felt in his head. Her voice took on a mock sternness.
"And then I'll bring you back here to live. I'll make you grow your hair below your waist and wear hair clips with moonstones."
He smiled at her. She could still make him smile. "I never heard of a fate worse than death, but I think that fits." Someone knocked at the door and Min froze. In a silent question, she mouthed Alana's name. Rand nodded, and to his amazement, Min pushed him over onto the pillows and flung herself on his chest. Squirming around, she raised her head, and he realized she was trying to see herself in the washstand mirror. Finally, she found a position she liked, lying half on top of him with one hand behind his neck and the other beside her face on his chest.
"Come in,"
she called. Cadswain stepped into the room and stopped, frowning at the knife stuck in the door. In a dress of fine dark green wool and a fur-lined cloak held by a silver brooch at the neck, she might have passed for a successful merchant or a banker, though the golden birds and fish, stars and moons dangling from the iron-gray bun atop her head would have been ostentatious for either. She was not wearing her great serpent ring, so it seemed she was making some effort to avoid too much notice.
"Have you children been arguing?" she asked mildly.
Rand could almost feel Luz Theron go still, like a ridge cat crouching in the shadows. Luz Theron was almost as wary of this woman as he was himself. Red-faced, Min scrambled to her feet, smoothing furiously at her dress.
"You said it was her,"
she said accusingly, just as Alana entered. Cadswain closed the door. Alana glanced once at Min and dismissed her, focusing on Rand. Without taking her dark eyes from him, she swept her cloak off and flung it over one of the room's two chairs. Her hands settled on her dark gray skirts, gripping them hard. She was not wearing her golden Aes Sedai ring either. From the moment her eyes fell on him, joy bloomed along the bond. All the rest was still there, the nervousness, the fury, but he had never expected her to feel joy. Not changing how he lay, he picked up the flute and toyed with it.
"Should I be surprised to see you, Cadswain? You pop up when I don't want to see you too often to suit.
Who taught you to travel?"
It had to have been that. One moment Alana had been a vague awareness on the edge of thought, and the next she sprang to life full strength in his head. At first he had thought she herself had learned traveling somehow, but seeing Cadswain he knew better. Alana's mouth tightened, and even Min looked disapproving. The emotions flowing along the water bond from one jumped and skittered. From the other, there was just anger mingled with delight now. Why did Alana feel joy?
"Still no manners than a goat, I see," Cadswain said dryly. "Boy, I hardly think I need your permission to visit my birthplace. As for traveling, it is none of your business where or when I learned anything."
Unpinning her cloak, she stuck the brooch on her belt, ready to hand, and folded the cloak over one arm as though making it neat were much more important than he was. Her voice took on an edge of irritation.
"You've lumbered me with a lot of traveling companions, one way and another. Alana was so frantic to see you again, only a heart of stone could have refused to bring her. And Soralea said some of those who pledged themselves to you would be good for nothing until they were allowed to go with Alana. So I've ended up bringing Nisun, Serene, Arian, Beldine, and Elza, too. Not to mention Harina, plus her sister and that sword master of hers. She didn't know whether to faint, scream, or bite someone when she found out Alana was going off to find you. And then there are those three black-coated friends of yours. I don't know how eager they are to see you, but they're here as well. Well, now that we've located you, I can send the sea folk and the sisters to you and let you deal with them."
Rand sprang to his feet with a muttered oath. "No! Keep them away from me!" Cadswain's dark eyes narrowed.
"I've warned you before about your language. I will not warn you again."
She frowned at him a moment longer, then nodded as though she thought he had taken the lesson to heart.
"Now what makes you think you can tell me what to do, boy?"
Rand struggled with himself. He could not issue orders here. He had never been able to order Cadswain anywhere. Min said he needed the woman, that she would teach him something he needed to learn. But if anything, that only made him more uneasy about her. "I want to finish my business here and leave quietly," he said at last. "If you tell them, at least make sure they see I can't afford to have them come anywhere near me. Not until I'm ready to leave." The woman raised an eyebrow at him, waiting, and he took a deep breath. Why did she always need to make everything difficult?
"I would appreciate it very much if you didn't tell any of them where I am."
Reluctantly, very reluctantly, he added,
"Please."
Min exhaled as though she had been holding her breath.
"Good," Cadswain said after a moment. "You can show manners when you try, even if it does make you look as though your teeth ached. I suppose I can keep your secret for you, for the time being. Not all of them even know you are in the city. Oh yes, I should tell you, Maurice has bonded Narishma, Karel has Dahmer, and young Hopwill is Dijian's."
She said that as though it were just a casual bit of information that might easily have slipped her mind. He did not bother to mutter his oath this time, and Cadswain's full-armed slap almost unhinged his jaw. Black spots shimmered in front of his eyes. One of the other women gasped.
"I did tell you," Cadswain said placidly. "No more warnings."
Min took a step toward him, and he shook his head slightly. It helped to clear the spots. He wanted to rub his jaw, but he kept his hands at his sides. He had to make himself loosen his grip on the flute. For Cadswain's part, the slap might never have occurred.
"Why would Flynn and the others accept being bonded?" he demanded. "Ask them when you see them," she replied. "Min, I suspect Alana wants to be alone with him a while."
Turning toward the door without waiting for Min's reply, she added,
"Alana, I will be waiting below in the women's room. Don't be too long. I want to get back to the heights. Min?"
Min glared at Alana. She glared at Rand. Then she flung up her hands and stalked out after Cadswain, muttering under her breath. She slammed the door behind her.
"I liked you better with your own hair."
Alana folded her arms beneath her breasts and studied him. Anger and joy warred with one another in the bond.
"I'd hoped that being close to you would be better,
but you are still like a stone in my head. Even standing here, I can hardly tell whether you're upset or not. Even so, being here is better. I dislike being parted from a warder so long.
Rand ignored her and the rippling joy that flowed along the bond.
She didn't ask why I came to Farm Adding, Rand said quietly, staring at the door as if he could see Cadswain through the wood. Surely she had to wonder.
You told her I was here, Alana. It had to be you. What happened to your oath?
Alana drew a deep breath, and a moment passed before she replied.
I am not sure Cadswain cares two pins about you, she snapped. I keep that oath as well as I can, but you do make keeping it hard.
Her voice began to harden, and anger welled more strongly through the bond.
I owe fealty to a man who walks off and leaves me behind. Just how am I supposed to serve you? More importantly, what did you do?
Crossing the carpet, she stood staring up at him, fury burning in her eyes. He topped her by more than a foot, and she seemed not to notice.
You did something I know. I was unconscious for 3 days. What did you do?
I decided if I was going to be bonded, it might as well be by someone I said could. He barely caught her hand before it landed on his face. I've been slapped enough for one day. She glared up at him, teeth bared as if ready to bite out his throat. The bond carried only fury and outrage now, distilled to daggers.
You let someone else bond you? She snarled. How dare you? Whoever she is, I'll see her before a court. I'll see her birched. You are mine.
Because you took me, Alana? He said coldly. If more sisters knew, you would be the one birched. Men had told him once that he could trust Alana, that she had seen the green and 4 other sisters in his hand. He did trust her, in an odd fashion, yet he was in Alana's hand, too, and he did not want to be. Release me, and I'll deny it ever happened. He had not even known that was possible until Lan told him about himself and Mirel. Release me, and I'll set you free of your oath. The roiling anger flowing through the bond lessened without disappearing, but her face grew calm and her voice was composed.
You are hurting my wrist.
He knew he was. He could feel the pain through the bond. He let go, and she massaged her wrist far more ostentatiously than required by the hurt he felt. Still rubbing her wrist, she sat on the second chair and crossed her legs. She seemed to be thinking.
I've thought of being free of you, she said finally. I have dreamed of it.
She gave a small, rueful laugh. I even asked Cadswain to let me pass the bond to her. A sign of how desperate I was to ask such a thing. But if anyone can handle you, Cadswain can. Only she refused. She was furious that I suggested it without asking you, outraged. But even if you agreed, she won't. She spread her hands.
So you are mine.
Her face did not change, but as she said that, the joy flared anew. However I acquired you, you are my warder, and I have a responsibility. That is as strong in me as the oath I swore to obey you. Every bit as strong. So I will not release you to anyone unless I know she can handle you properly.
Who bonded you?
If she is capable, I will let her have you. Just the possibility that Cadswain might have received his bond sent icicles down Rand's spine. Alana had never been able to control him with the bond, and he did not think any sister could. But he would never risk it with that one. Light. What makes you think she doesn't care about me? He demanded instead of answering Alana's question. Trust or no trust, no one would learn that answer if he could help it. What Elaine and Min and Avienda had done might be allowed by Tower law, yet they had worse to fear than punishment from other Aes Sedai if it came out they were linked to him in this way. Sitting down on the edge of the bed, he turned the flute over in his hands.
just because she refused my bond? Maybe she isn't as nonchalant about the consequences as you. She came to me in Kyrian and stayed long after there could be any reason but me. Am I really supposed to believe she just decided to visit friends while I happened to be here? She brought you to Farm Matting so she could find me. Rand, she wanted to know where you were every day, Alana said dismissively. But I doubt there's a shepherd in Salizen who doesn't wonder where you are. The whole world wants to know that. I knew you were far to the south, that you hadn't moved for days, no more. When I found out she and Varen were coming here, I had to beg her on my knees, before she would let me come along. But I didn't know myself that you were here until I came out of the gateway in the hills above the city. Before that, I thought I might have to travel halfway to Tyr to find you. Cadswain taught me that when we came here, so don't think you can evade me so easily in the future. Cadswain had taught Alana to travel? That still did not say who had taught Cadswain, though. Not that it mattered, he supposed. And Dahmer and the other two allowed themselves to be bonded? Or did those sisters just take them the way you took me? A faint flush stained her cheeks, but her voice was steady. I heard Maurice ask Jahar. It took him 2 days to accept, and she never pressured him that I saw. I cannot speak for the others, but as Cadswain said, you can always ask them. Rand, you must understand those men were afraid to go back to this Black Tower of yours. Her mouth twisted sourly around the name. They were afraid they would be blamed in the attack on you. If they simply ran, they would be hunted down as deserters. I understand that is your standing order. Where else could they go, except to Aes Sedai? And a good thing they did, too. She smiled as though she had just seen something wonderful, and her voice became excited. Rand, Dahmer has discovered a way to heal being stilled. Light, I can say that word without freezing my tongue. He healed Ergine, Renila, and Sashal. They've sworn fealty to you, too, just like all the others. What do you mean, all the others? I mean all the sisters the Aiel are holding, even the Reds. She sounded half disbelieving about that, as well she should, but disbelief melted into intensity as she put both feet on the floor and leaned toward him, her eyes fixed on his. Every one of them has sworn and accepted the penance you put on Nisun and the others, the first five of them who swore. Cadswain doesn't trust them. She wouldn't let them bring any of their warders. I admit I was uncertain at first, but I believe you can trust them. They swore oath to you. You know what that means for a sister. We can't break an oath, Rand. It isn't possible. Even the Reds. He had been surprised when those first five captives offered fealty. Elida had sent them to kidnap him, and they had. He had been sure it was him being Tavirin that had done it, but that only altered chance made what might happen one time in a million become a certainty. It was hard to believe that a Red would swear under any circumstances to a man who could channel. You need us, Rand. Rising, she shifted as if she wanted to pace, but instead she stood watching him, unblinking. Her hands smoothed her skirts as if she was unaware of what they were doing. You need the support of Aes Sedai. Without it, you will have to conquer every nation, and you haven't done very well at that thus far. The rebellion in Kyrian might seem finished to you, but not everyone likes Dobrain being named your steward. A good many might go to Toram Riatan if he reappears. The High Lord Darlin is snug in the stone, so we hear, announced as your steward in Tyr, but the rebels there haven't come streaming out of the Haddon Merc to support him. As for Andor, Elaine Trakand might say she will support you once she has the throne, but she has maneuvered your soldiers out of Camelon, and I'll wear bells in the Blight if she lets them remain in Andor when she does succeed. Sisters can help you. Elaine will listen to us. The rebels in Kyrian and Tyr will listen. The White Tower has stopped wars and ended rebellions for 3,000 years. You may not like the treaty Rafella and Marana negotiated with Harina, but they got everything you asked for. Light man, let us help you. Rand nodded slowly.
It had seemed just a way to impress people with his power that Aes Sedai gave him fealty. Fear that they might manipulate him to their own ends had blinded him to anything else. He did not like admitting that. He had been a fool. "A man who trusts everyone is a fool," Luce Theron said. "And a man who trusts no one is a fool. We are all fools if we live long enough." He almost sounded sane. "Go back to Kyrian," he said. "Tell Rafella and Marana I want them to approach the rebels in Haddon Merc. Tell them to take Bera and Karuna, too." Those were the four besides Alana, whom Min said he could trust. What had she said about the five others Cad Swain had brought with her? That each would serve him in her fashion. That was not strong enough, not yet. "I want Darlin Cisnera as my steward, and the laws I made left in place. They can negotiate away anything else as long as they end the rebellion. After that..." "What's the matter?" Alana's face had fallen, and she had sagged back into her chair. "It's just that I've come all this way, and you are sending me right off again. I suppose it is for the best, with that girl here," she sighed. "You have no idea what I went through in Kyrian, masking the bond just enough to keep what the two of you were doing from keeping me awake all night. That is much harder than simply masking it completely, but I dislike losing touch with my warders completely. Only going back to Kyrian will be almost as bad." Rand cleared his throat. "That's what I want you to do." Women, he had learned, talked about some things much more openly than men, but it was still a shock when they did. He hoped Elaine and Avienda masked the bond when he was making love with Min. When the two of them were together in bed, no one else existed except her, the same as it had been with Elaine. He certainly did not want to talk about it with Alana. "I may be done here by the time you finish in Kyrian. If I haven't, you can return here. But you'll have to stay away from me until I say otherwise." Even with that restriction, the joy billowed up in her afresh. "You aren't going to tell me who bonded you, are you?" He shook his head and she sighed. "I had better go." Rising, she took up her cloak and draped it over her arm. "Cad Swain is impatient at best. Soralia admonished her to look after us like a mother hen, and she does, after her fashion." At the door, she paused for one last question. "Why are you here, Rand? Cad Swain may not care, but I do. I'll keep it secret if you wish. I've never been able to stay more than a few days in a steading. Why would you be willing to stay here where you can't even feel the source?"
"Maybe it isn't that bad for me," he lied. He could tell her, he realized. He did trust her to keep it secret. But she did see him as her warder, and she was a green. No explanation could make her let him face it alone. But in Far Matting, she was no better able to defend herself than Min, maybe less. "Go on, Alana. I've wasted enough time." Once she was gone, he shifted himself to put his back against the wall again and sat fingering the flute. He thought instead of playing, though. Min said he needed Cad Swain, but Cad Swain was not interested in him except as a curiosity. A bad-mannered curiosity. Somehow, he had to make her interested. How in the light was he going to do that?
With some difficulty, Verin squeezed herself out of the sedan chair in the courtyard of Elisa's palace. She was simply not constructed to fit the things, but they were the fastest way to get about in Far Matting. Coaches always bogged down in the crowds sooner or later, and they could not go some places she wanted to. The damp winds off the lake were turning colder as evening deepened into twilight, but she let the wind whip her cloak about while she dug two silver pennies from her purse and gave them to the bearers. She was not supposed to, of course, since they were Elisa's boys, but Edwina would not know that. They should not have accepted, but the silver vanished into their coats in a twinkling, and the younger of the pair, a handsome fellow in his middle years, even made her a flourishing bow before they picked up the chair and trotted off toward the stable, a low structure set in a corner against the front wall. Varen sighed. A boy in his middle years. It had not taken her long back in Farmadding to begin thinking as if she had never left. She had to be careful about that. It could be dangerous, not least if Elise or the others discovered her deception. She suspected the warrants for Varen Mathwin's exile had never been suspended. Farmadding kept quiet when an Aes Sedai fell afoul of the law, but the councils had no reason to fear Aes Sedai, and for its own reasons the tower in turn kept quiet on those rare occasions when a sister found herself strung up for a judicial flogging. She had no intention of being the latest reason for the tower to keep silence. Elise's palace was not a patch on the Sun Palace, of course, or the royal palace in Andor, or any of the palaces kings and queens ruled from. It was her own property, not attached to her position as First Council. Others, larger and smaller, marched away on either side, each surrounded by a high wall, except on the end, where the heights, the only point approaching a hill on the entire island, fell away to the water in a sheer bluff. Still, it was not small, either. The Barsala women had been dealing in trade and politics since the city was still called Felmarina. Tall columned walks surrounded the Barsala palace on both levels, and the white marble cube covered most of the walled grounds. She found Cadswain in a sitting room that would have offered a good view of the lake if the curtains had not been drawn to keep in the warmth of the blaze in the wide marble fireplace. Cadswain sat, with her sewing basket on a small inlaid table beside her chair, calmly working with needle and embroidery hoop. She was not alone. Varen folded her cloak over the back of a padded chair and took another to wait. Elsa barely glanced at her. The usually pleasant-faced Green stood on the carpet in front of Cadswain, looking quite fierce, her face red and her eyes glaring. Elsa was always very conscious of where she stood with respect to other sisters, perhaps too much so. For her to ignore Varen, much less confront Cadswain, she must have been in a fine swivet. "How could you let her go?" she demanded of Cadswain. "How are we to find him without her?" Ah, so that was it. Cadswain's head remained bent over her embroidery hoop, and her needle continued to make tiny stitches. "You can wait until she returns," she said calmly. Elsa's hands doubled into fists at her side. "How can you be so detached?" she demanded. "He is the dragon reborn. This place could be a death trap for him. You have to—" Her teeth snapped shut as Cadswain held up a finger. That was all Cadswain did, but from her it was enough. "I've put up with your tirade long enough, Elsa. You may go. Now." Elsa hesitated, but she really had no choice. Her face was still red as she bobbed a curtsy with her dark green skirts clutched in her fists, but if she stalked from the sitting room, she still left without further delay. Cadswain set the embroidery hoop on her lap and leaned back. "Will you make me some tea, Varen?" In spite of herself, Varen gave a small start. The other sister had not looked in her direction once. "Of course, Cadswain." A heavily worked silver teapot sat on a four-legged stand on one of the side tables and was still hot, luckily. "Was it wise to let Alana go?" she asked. "I could hardly stop her without letting the boy know more than he should, now could I?" Cadswain replied dryly. Taking her time, Varen tipped the teapot to pour into a thin blue porcelain cup. Not seafolk porcelain, but very fine. "Do you have any idea why he came to Farmadding of all places? I nearly swallowed my tongue when it came to me that the reason he had stopped leaping about might be because he was here. If it's something dangerous, perhaps we should try to stop him." "Varen, he can do whatever his heart desires, anything at all, as long as he lives to reach Tarmon Gaiden, and as long as I can be at his side long enough to make him learn how to laugh again and cry." Closing her eyes, she rubbed her temples with her fingertips and sighed. "He is turning into a stone, Varen, and if he doesn't relearn that he's human, winning the last battle may not be much better than losing. Yang Min told him he needs me. I got that much out of her without rousing her suspicions. But I must wait for him to come to me. You see the way he runs roughshod over Alana and the others. It will be hard enough teaching him if he does ask. He fights guidance. He thinks he must do everything, learn everything on his own, and if I do not make him work for it, he won't learn at all. Her hands dropped onto the embroidery hoop on her lap. I seem to be in a confiding mood tonight. Unusual for me. If you ever finish pouring that tea, I may confide some more. Oh, yes, of course. Hastily filling a second cup, Varen slipped the small vial back into her pouch, unopened. It was good to be sure of Cadswain at last. "Do you take honey?" she asked in her most muddled voice. "I never can remember."